I'm great. How are you?
I am well. So describe for me, if you will, some of the ways that SoFi is different from traditional banks for people who aren't that familiar.
Sure. So SoFi is an alternative lender, a non-bank lender, the largest in the country. We originate about $1 billion in credit a month across personal loans, student loan refinancing, and mortgages. More recently, we're starting to do things in wealth management, insurance, and asset management. But what's very unique about the business is our focus on a core demographic, kind of the 25 to 45-year-old customer base that is often called a HENRY. It's an acronym for High Earner Not Rich Yet. It's a customer segment that the banking industry has really struggled to deliver a value to, and primarily because there's a lot of misperception around millennial customers, the idea that they're fickle, they're not loyal, they're price sensitive. We found that really not to be the case. We found them to be extremely engaged, extremely loyal, great members if you deliver what they want, which is speed, transparency, and alignment. They want to be able to access information 24/7 at their convenience. They want to understand what they're getting into and how it works, and they want to have a relationship with an entity that's going to be there for them. And that's really the base of our model. It's around the idea of brand and service as differentiators, sustainable advantages versus traditional banks. And that's the focus of SoFi.
What are some of the other differences between you and traditional banks? For example, how are your loans funded? Are they, you know, is it like a peer-to-peer model, or are they funded by traditional sources like banks?
So ironically, banks are a big buyer of our loan portfolio. And I think in terms of the financing of the business, it's not too different from traditional financial services companies, other than some of the efficiencies that we built in. I think the big differentiation is the member experience, what you get when you're part of SoFi. So we're very focused on building products the market wants. So for example, we've created student loan refinancing. It was a product that didn't exist before we launched it. But we've innovated in mortgage and insurance and asset management, very specific into this customer segment. We do it through mobile. So we were one of the first to offer a loan completely online. It's a key part of what we do today. When I say online, I mean through your mobile device, not through the traditional web. We run extremely high service levels, so we run net promoter scores across our product sets between 70 and 90. It's a gauge of customer satisfaction. By comparison, the top four banks in the U.S. run somewhere between negative 15 and negative 45. But what's most important is we have this concept of membership and community. So when you become a SoFi member, there really is a membership there. We help you with your career. You lose your job, we help you get reemployed. We've done that over 200 times for our members. We hold networking events 2 to 3 times a week across the U.S. that are always oversubscribed. And more recently, we've hosted dating events for our members. And I can't remember the last time Wells Fargo had a dating event, but it was probably never. So there's a lot of unique things that we do that are specific to the community that set us apart from traditional financial services.
What is the goal of that? Is it like to create sort of good feelings among your debtors so that, you know, once your two lenders get married, then they come back to you for a mortgage?
Well, there's a couple of factors to it. Obviously, we like to create household units and sell mortgages. That's always a plus in terms of the dating events. But at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is really help improve our members' lives. And the better off they are, the better off they're doing in their career, with their family, with their relationships, the better off we're going to have a relationship with them, or the better our relationship is with them. And so that's really the underpinning of what we do and the motivation there.
You're also known for offering lower interest rates than other lenders. Is that still the case, and is that sustainable?
So we have very competitive rates. One of the things that we do is obviously because of some of the efficiencies that we have, we can pass that on to our members in terms of competitive interest rates across all our products. But obviously with the rates rising, everyone's rates are rising, and ours will move with the market. But they'll always be competitive, and that's an important piece for us. But really the way that we differentiate SoFi is around brand and service. So we always want to have a competitively priced product, but we want to deliver an outstanding experience and a lot of support and alignment to the members that we have.
And how about the evaluation of creditworthiness? There was obviously a lot of attention when you said you weren't going to use FICO scores anymore. Are you still taking that sort of more holistic approach?
Yeah. Our general view on this is that good credit will tend to have high FICO scores, but high FICO scores isn't necessarily indications of good credit because it's backward looking. And what we really care about most, first and foremost, with our members is their ability to service their loan. And so we look at their income, their taxes, their bills, bills that we see, bills that we don't see that we think they have. And at the end of the day, we want to make sure that they actually have net positive cash flow so they can service their debt. And that to us is the single greatest factor in underwriting. And if you look at our credit performance, we have the best performance of any unsecured consumer lender in the market because of the approach that we've taken to underwriting. And the benefit of that to our members is it drives down our cost of financing and allows us to be very competitive in terms of rates.
The U.S. has a lot of debt overall. And, you know, you're really positioning yourself as sort of a kinder and friendlier lending institution. But do you feel like by making debt more accessible, you could potentially still be sort of part of the machine or the problem of debt?
Well, the product that we originally launched the business around was student loan refinancing, which was our attempt to take high quality credit and get them into lower rates and get out of debt faster. And so if you look at our borrower base, our average member saves over $20,000 refinancing their student loan with us. And that's real savings to them. And what's interesting is many people choose not to pay the minimum rate. They pay the same rate they were paying the previous loan and just pay the loan off quicker than they would have. And so I think we're doing a lot in terms of helping people get out of student loan debt quicker, but we're also promoting financial literacy and financial empowerment around understanding how debt works, when to use it, when it makes sense, when does it make sense to, for example, pay down a loan versus invest in the market. These are all very real salient issues that people face that we try to help navigate.
And does the creditworthiness formula, is there any way to be more forward-looking than FICO? Because, you know, even if I pay my bills now, it doesn't mean that I may still not be able to afford a loan. Is there a possibility that you're letting people take out loans they can't afford? I mean, you said your record shows otherwise.
Yeah, well, the underpinning of the underwriting model that we do is you have to be able to support the loan. And I think the limitation on a FICO or a debt-to-income-based approach to underwriting is it's not clear that the borrower actually has the cash flow to support the loan payments. And so by definition, our borrowers do. The ability to pay is now the core component of mortgage underwriting. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau put that in place a couple of years back. But we've been doing it well in advance of that because it's the most fundamental, rigorous way to assess credit. And it ensures that the person taking the credit can support the credit.
What's next for SoFi? You've done student loan refinancing. You offer now parent loans to help pay for college. You offer mortgages. Can you walk us through the roadmap?
Sure. So today, mortgages and personal loans are both very important parts of the business. Our personal loan business today is as big as our student loan refinancing. And probably in the next 6 to 12 months, our mortgage business will be bigger than both. But we've started to do things on what we call the other side of the balance sheet. So, for example, we launched a term life insurance product where a traditional process that would take 10 weeks offline, including a doctor's visit, you can now do 20 minutes online. We think it's a very innovative approach to delivering life insurance. We're looking at solutions in asset management and wealth. We're looking at the ability to provide a banking product in terms of an account that you can put your paycheck in, you can withdraw money from, it's FDIC insured. Those solutions will come in 2017. And we're also looking outside of the U.S. We're looking at Asia and Europe as opportunities for expansion where we find that our market segment that's underserved in the U.S., the Henry that we call them, there's Henrys everywhere. They're in the U.K., they're in Europe, they're in Asia. And we see a tremendous opportunity to build a really innovative financial services platform that isn't locked in the U.S.
How do you see the space overall evolving? I mean, how do you keep a lead if Wells Fargo suddenly figures out that better customer service is a good idea? I mean, we've seen no sign of that so far, but it could happen, right? And would that be a problem for you?
No, that's right. And I think we will drag the financial industry into the space that we're occupying today. I think the idea of delineating, differentiating around brand and service and really understanding what this millennial customer needs is a huge milestone for us to achieve. But the financial industry will follow behind that. They won't be left behind. I think that the key for us is there's things that we do that a bank isn't structurally allowed to do. So, for example, as crazy as it sounds, Wells Fargo can't have a dating event. They can't help you get a job. Those aren't things that a bank holding company is allowed to do. And so we've been able to, as a non-bank, build certain aspects of differentiation that we think will continue to persist and really set us apart from traditional financial services players.
Is there some point where regulation might catch up to that? How are you a non-bank?
Yeah, so the key is that we don't collect deposits. And so, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, there are solutions for us to provide deposit accounts into our members, but we do not provide an FDIC-insured deposit product, and consequently, we're not a bank. And so the way that we lend, we're registered in the states that we do business. We have a 49-state footprint. Nevada is the only state that we can't do business in because it requires a physical branch. But we're a non-bank entity. And consequently, there are things that the FDIC limits a bank holding company to do that we're not privy to. And so it gives us a lot of flexibility in how we build our membership, how we build our community, how we build the value proposition associated with that. And that's core for mm-hmm. us.
In a traditional lending institution, don't the deposits help pay for the loans? Is there an increased burden on you to sell your loans to other institutions then?
Absolutely. And so the you can think of our business as really three different components. There's acquiring the customer, there's the infrastructure to fund the loan, and then there's going out and getting the money. And so what that means is we've had to focus on building out our capital markets effort and our loan buying community. And so today, we have over 100 institutions that look at buying our loans and securities. The securitizations, the securities that we sell in the marketplace are significantly oversubscribed. So we have a very broad, diverse buyer base that includes banks, asset managers, pensions, insurance companies, sovereign wealth funds. It's a very diverse buyer base because what we deliver is a very unique product, which is prime U.S. consumer at an attractive risk-adjusted yield.
Do you have any student debt? Let's turn this on you for a second. Do you have any student debt yourself, or did you ever?
So I didn't. I'm going to date myself, but when I went to UC Santa Cruz for my bachelor's and my master's a while ago, it was not very expensive, and I was able to work and pay my way through school. And so I was fortunate enough to graduate without debt. And by the time I went back to Stanford for my master's degree, I had enough money to pay for that process. But I am a SoFi mortgage customer, and I was one of the first customers on SoFi's mortgage platform and helped debug a couple of the wrinkles in the process. But I'm a very happy SoFi mortgage customer.
Talk about building SoFi as a brand when you started, especially coming out of the financial crisis. Was there a sense that you could create, or that there was a need for some kind of financial entity that people could get behind and feel good about?
Yeah, absolutely. I think coming out of the financial crisis, there was a confluence of circumstances, some from the regulatory standpoint and some from just the way that banks had serviced customers. And our view was that banking had become more of a utility, kind of a necessary evil, and the perception that it didn't really matter what bank you were with, the service levels were generally mediocre to poor, and there wasn't real alignment between the bank and its customers. And so the idea of doing something that was more community-based was very appealing to us. And the way we originally started SoFi, we went out to alumni at Stanford who invested in a fund. They lent money to Stanford students. And the idea was that we create a bond and a connection there. And what we found very quickly was it wasn't so much the investor-to-borrower connection, but just the borrower community in itself, the ability for connection, engagement, communication, networking. There was huge value in that and our ability to facilitate it as SoFi. And so as we grew the business, what began to happen was people began less so to identify with the school and more so to identify with the fact that it was SoFi. And when we held our first member events, we were always skeptical about whether people would show up, whether they'd attend. And it was amazing. People loved coming. They loved talking. They loved engaging with people. They loved talking about finance and their own personal financial situation, which was interesting to us and actually drove a lot of product innovation for us as we thought about what to do to deliver into this market segment. And so today, as I mentioned earlier, we hold 2 to 3 networking events across the U.S. Every week. They're always oversubscribed. The dating events are massively oversubscribed. It's a real community, and it's a huge differentiation for us in terms of how we build SoFi. And it's genuine. And if you look at the 200-plus people that have lost their jobs that we've gotten reemployed, or the tens of thousands of people that have come to networking events with us and met someone interesting or new, or the thousands of people that have gotten career advice from us or salary negotiation tips, there's real value that we're delivering.
And are you also building sort of ambassadors? Like, do people Instagram about their SoFi experiences?
They sure do. We hold a couple of contests every now and then where we offer to pay off a SoFi loan against the best SoFi story. And we get thousands of contributions into here. We just did one recently. You can tag YI SoFi. And you can see some of the entries and really compelling stories about how we were able to take people out of debt quicker or help them finance something that they needed that was life-changing for them. It's great inspiration for me every morning to read some of those stories and feel good about what we do.
SoFi CEO Mike Cagney, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.